Now Kroger. Oh, Kroger got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way. You play like Gordie Howe or Eddie fucking Shore. We can't all be Gretzky's, the loser Bobby Orr's. Hey.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the biscuit. It's the biscuit.
Damn it! That goal regulation size of one!
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. There's a country we'll stop working on so Batman's fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the biscuit podcast.
Hey, you wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
All right, guys, I'm very excited to get going on this podcast. Just a few things I wanted to talk about before we start with Dr. Victoria Silverwood of Ice Guardians. I want to apologize to you guys for not sticking up for Jared Bull on the Bartnick episode. It just didn't seem like my place, and I didn't want to argue with a guest. Mr. Bartnick was doing me a favor by coming on, but I want to be honest with you guys, and it did bother me that I pussed out like that, but sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. I'm sorry I disappointed you, my babies. Never again. Never again, and I love you. Get excited. This is a really good podcast. Dr. Silverwood is an amazing lady, very intelligent, and she gives a lot of good information. Make sure to go over to Parker's Platoon and buy a fucking bracelet. Let's do it. All right. So I'm on with the good doctor, Victoria Silverwood. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it, especially with the huge time difference we have there. So I know I'm just getting home and ready to go, cracking up some Labatt's. So we'll get you started so we can get you in bed and all ready to go, okay?
That's brilliant. Thank you.
Well, you're a lecturer of criminology at Birmingham City University. You wrote Five for Fighting, The Culture, a Practice of Legitimized Violence in Professional Ice Hockey. You starred in Ice Guardians, and you even have a little hockey player of your own, if I'm not mistaken.
I do. I'm a busy lady.
How does game go the other day? how does game go?
Oh, it was great. It was very good. It was a kind of play like the pros, where they had the professional players playing with the junior hockey players as well. So it was all good fun. He got a goal, so he's happy.
Yeah. Well, so I guess my biggest question is, were you a hockey fan before Ice Guardians came around? I mean, obviously, since you wrote your PhD for that, but what got you interested in the in ice hockey?
It's actually my now husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, was going along to watch it. He played a bit of shinny. The team was just starting in our hometown, so I went along with him to watch it. Became a bit of a sort of fan and ended up watching it for a lot of years before finally working for a team, doing their sort of some of their press and things like that.
Now, you said he played a bit of shinny?
Yeah, they didn't have organized kind of recreation teams at that point. So we just, 20 people would just get on the ice and just hit the puck back and forward, play a bit of a pickup game.
Oh, so like, I guess we would call it beer league.
Yeah, not quite as organized as the beer league, because he still plays beer league now. But
oh, okay.
Not quite that organized.
So was it your degree in criminology that kind of made you dive into the more violent aspect of the sport, or what got you interested in really diving into the enforcers and telling their story in a different way?
Yeah, well, I did a degree in criminology and then went on to be involved in criminal defense law. So I was kind of used to kind of fighting for people who I thought had been treated a bit unfairly to start with. But when I decided to go back and get my master's and then my PhD and become a lecturer, I was a hockey fan, and I just thought, you know what, why has nobody written about this kind of stuff? Why isn't the information out there? So I did a good sort of literature search, and there's barely any research that's been done on hockey. And initially I was kind of interested in the whole kind of legal distinction between fighting on the ice compared to fighting off the ice. How hockey managed to have this kind of bare knuckle fist fight, which was kind of illegal in every other context. So initially I just kind of got in that way. And then as I got more and more involved, it was actually like the players' stories that got me sort of hooked on wanting to study this subject. You know, as you and all your listeners will know, many academics don't know, but hockey people know that, you know, enforcers are nice guys off the ice.
Right.
Some of the nicest guys you'd meet in hockey.
Absolutely.
And I think in criminology kind of terms, people see violence and just assume that means that's someone who's a criminal and acts in a particular way. And they don't understand like the nuances between different types of violence and people that use legitimate forms of violence. So my research kind of took more that kind of turn after that.
Now, that's interesting when you say different types of violence, because usually, you know, someone would just hear and it would be black and white. This is violence. This is not violence.
Yeah.
I agree with you. There are different types of violence. How do you define legitimized violence? And especially as it pertains to ice hockey, because obviously we're an ice hockey podcast, but what does that mean to you?
In terms of if hockey, it's kind of violence is legitimized because everybody is agreed that it is a part of the game. It's kind of for the greater good of the game. So people consent to that level of violence. And I think, you know, I went into the whole Latin definition in Ice Guardians about what makes it legally different from kind of violence on the streets. But for me, it's how players legitimize that violence and what becomes acceptable and what becomes unacceptable to that social group that's kind of really interesting, because every different social group and every different kind of tribe of people have got their own definitions about what's legitimate and illegitimate.
And that's a huge point there, is it is consensual. These men are out on that ice, and like you said, they call it the code, you know, whether the players want to call it the code or not. But they know, and everyone else on that ice knows, and the people in the crowd know, that if something happens, there are consequences. And everybody, I mean, they all grew up, and they've signed on to come out there onto that ice and to do it, and these men have even taken it a step further and dedicated themselves to being that guy that will have to stand up for their teammates if they need to. And it's interesting because only for the last, you know, few years have I really dove into these guys' personalities. And, you know, as a young kid, I would just see, like, say, Scott Parker knock somebody out in one punch and be like, oh, he's the baddest motherfucker to ever live. I bet he's, you know, eats nails for breakfast and, you know, you can't talk to him. But he's absolutely one of the sweetest humans of all time and
absolutely
a very kind-hearted person. And it doesn't seem really that there's any type of enforcer that is just a big prick. It's more so, one, they want to play hockey. Two, they love their team. And three, some of them are just really good at fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think people always ask me, sort of non-hockey people always ask me whether the people drawn to that role are people who were violent in other areas of their life, or they kind of showed that they were more likely to be violent when they were younger. And I think that's incredibly rare. I think most of the people that take this role on, to some extent, do it because they realize they're successful in it. And another one, mainly because they're kind of pushed into it because of their size through juniors.
Right.
You know, those guys that were bigger were kind of put into that role.
And that's why I particularly don't love the, you know, the term when it's used without affection, the goon, because these men, they're not goons. And, you know, for anyone to send any kind of hatred towards them for doing something that they're good at is ridiculous, because everybody wants to do something that they're good at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's just a demeaning term. I kind of like how the Goon franchise, you know, Jay Baruchel's latest one as well, the second film. I kind of like how it kind of reclaims that title a bit. But yeah. I don't like it when I see people that I know, when I know that they're smart and they're funny and they're kind and they're engaging and they actually do a job which requires a lot of mental thought and a lot of preparation, being kind of demonized as being these kind of mindless thugs that kind of drag their knuckles on the ground.
Right.
But actually, it couldn't be further from the truth.
Right. And that's one thing that Ice Guardians brought out to me is
that these guys think about this, you know, that that mental anguish that, oh shit, we're playing so and so, I know I'm going to have to fight, and what that would do to somebody, and then let alone the physical consequences of that, you know, interaction. So not only do they have to think about it, then they have to live with what happens to them, you know, physically, and then after the game too, when it's all gone, you know, it's now just starting to come out a lot of, you know, information on CTE and head trauma and all this.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that position as it moves forward with all this knowledge of, you know, how it affects your head and what's going on there?
Well, it's something I'm doing a lot of work at the moment now. Initially, you know, I mean, I'm pro the need for fighting in hockey in terms of enforcing the rules, in terms of protecting your teammates. So my kind of PhD dissertation was quite kind of very positive about it all and looking at that. And it was only sort of a couple of years later when stories started coming out about CTE and about sort of associated problems with TBI and various other things happening to players as they sort of aged and went through the system, that I started to question it a little bit more. And I think it's a massive time of change as we discover more and more about the effect on the brain of contact. It does make you rethink what you think about fighting. It does make you rethink what these people are putting their bodies through.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found like a real joy about since my research, because I've kept in touch with the players that I kind of spent a year with doing my research. And so they're now retiring and they're sort of got their young families or they're starting their careers outside hockey. And being able to kind of keep in touch with them and hear their stories, even though some of those are sad, where they are struggling with brain injuries or with other illnesses or depression from retiring, it's a real kind of honour to still kind of keep up that relationship with them and still be able to tell that story. Perhaps looking a little bit about some of the harms that hockey actually did do to their brain or to their social life on retirement or to their drug or alcohol addiction.
Right. I think one of the biggest things is you ask, and I don't want to give away too much of Ice Guardians because I think everybody should see it. I think it's a very important film. But if you ask, I mean, a lot of these guys, they won't even hesitate for a second to, you know, would you do it again? Now with, you know, the information being out there, they don't hesitate for a second to say in a heartbeat, I would absolutely do it again. I'd do it twice if I could. For me, that was what made it okay, that, you know, yeah, it's a bummer that things can happen to their head. But I mean, a lot of them even say, you know, the hardest I was ever hit was catching an elbow, just skating across the dude or, you know, getting boarded. So the fight itself doesn't even necessarily mean that there's going to be head trauma. But the game is violent all around, everything about it. You're flying around on knives on ice with giant sticks, so shit's about to, you know, bound to happen. But
I mean, and I think the film deals with that, you know, really well, by having Charles Tater on talking about the way that concussions are caused, and fighting isn't the problem with concussion,
right?
You know, obviously it's, you know, it's not a great idea to take massive blows to your head. You know, there are going to be some damages to that, whether that's to your fists or to your facial bones or whatever it is. But the damage is being caused by the speed of the game.
Yep.
The massive hits, the elbow and shoulder pads being much more protective of the player who's wearing them rather than the player that's on the receiving end of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the way the game goes. But, you know, hockey's kind of been thrown under the – sorry, fighting's been thrown under the bus by the NHL as being the thing that's the problem, which is false in my opinion.
I agree with you, and I think it's because of how it looks. You see a dude get hit in the face, teeth fall out, people get, you know, they freak out. But really – and I've read these studies say an offensive lineman in the NFL wearing those helmets that they have, it's that constant contact every play, boom, their head moving every single play all game long. Not, like you said, a punch to the face. Or these guys, running somebody and having no consequence now because they're running these players out of the league. Because trust me, if you run somebody and then you have Westgrath come skate over to you and go, okay, bud, let's go. You're going to think twice about doing that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Making the most of all the information that didn't make it into the final cut of the film.
Oh, wow. And that's...
There's so many hours of such great stuff. And, you know, when you've got so many players, it's, you know, you can't have them all saying the same thing. So, but they all said it slightly differently, which you get across in a book a lot sort of easier when you haven't, you're not limited by time.
Yeah. So you guys are currently working on a book together then?
We are, yeah. Yeah, that's the plan. Unfortunately, it's been put on hold a little bit because my academic job got rather busy and he's away with Scorgi filming the Trejo documentary.
Right.
But yeah, no, the aim is to get it up and running and get it sorted. And he's going to make it look good, apparently, which is good. I'm going to need some help with his artistic abilities because mine are very limited. But I'm writing away and getting it out there. I mean, it writes itself. It's such a fun topic to write about.
Right.
It's a lot easier than writing academic books, I tell you.
So is it's practically or just going to be basically Ice Guardians, the book?
There's going to be different elements into it. So, we won't call it Ice Guardians. It's going to involve some of my research as well. Some follow-up interviews with some of the players, some kind of further considerations, that just topics that couldn't fit in the film in the end as well. So it'll certainly be based on some of the same themes, but we'll bring new themes in as well and expand on different aspects that didn't make it, because I know Brett struggled for many months to get the film to 90 minutes, so it could have been 3 hours with no trouble.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, that's awesome. Definitely let me know when that comes out, and I'll have you back on, and we'll do promote it a little bit because I'm all about that. That sounds fucking great.
That'd be great.
So, how is hockey over there? You know, it's completely. I mean, I have no idea. I just had a gentleman on from Dublin, and the beard just starting to get into it, but a lot of those cats over there were getting into it from video games. So I'm just curious of what the culture of hockey is in the UK.
It's still a marginal sport, but it's now in, I'm trying to think, I remember this year, 12 teams in the top tier professional league. And probably about half the players in each of those teams will be import players from Canada and the States. So probably skill level somewhere just a little bit above the East Coast Hockey League.
Okay.
Perhaps with a little bit less depth on the benches. But that kind of level, 12 teams, which given how small the country is, that's, you know, you've got a team pretty close to you no matter where you are.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's good fucking hockey too. I love the ECHL. So
I
got into the Elite League last year following Belfast a little bit just because that was the first team I really fell on. I was going to say, who's your boys?
Cardiff Devils.
Oh, the Devils. Okay. Well, maybe I'll look into it.
Yeah. So we won the league and the conference and the Challenge Cup last year. So, you know, you might as well support a winning team.
I like that. Do you follow the NHL at all?
I do. I love the NHL. The time zone, you know, you're saying about the time zone at the beginning of this, the time zone for watching NHL when you're in the UK is pretty grueling.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty fucky.
So I either have to kind of delay being on Twitter and Facebook for like 12 or 14 hours until I can actually get home and watch a film, or you have to stay up really late and get by on not much sleep.
Either way, yeah, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, no, I love it. And when I come to the States and Canada with work, and, you know, as soon as I'm there, I'm checking the schedules to see who's playing where and what they're doing.
You're not a fucking Penguins fan, are you?
Oh, God, no. Anyone but Penguins.
Thank God. I was going to say, I've had to talk to so many fucking Penguins fans, I'm about to lose my mind.
Do you know what? There are a lot of Penguin fans in the UK, people who've liked hockey for the last 5 years or so.
Oh, I'm fucking sure. I'm sure.
All Penguins fans. No, I'm not a Penguins fan. I think I thought you might ask me who I supported.
Yeah, I want to know.
I think being in the UK and supporting it over the distance gives you kind of a bit more flexibility in being able to support more than one team.
Yeah.
So there's a few that I've, you know, like my first team initially were the Leafs.
Okay.
Going back like 25 years.
Nothing wrong with that.
With the Leafs. That was the first arena I went in. So, you know, the Leafs have always got a soft spot in my heart. But I got into the Caps a little bit, and because they're the team I've seen live most, because I've been in Washington for business.
Oh, okay.
I've got a soft spot for them, and I've also got a soft spot for the Oilers. So I'm kind of spreading my bets a bit on the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, well, all those are wrong, but it's okay. I grew up, I liked the Leafs when I was younger because we didn't have a team in my region. So
yeah.
I looked up north and there they were. So I was like, oh, I guess I like the Leafs. And I was a huge Doug Gilmore fan. So that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Until we got a team here in Ohio. And then I said, fuck the Leafs. I'm done with them. And pitched them pretty quick.
I just feel people have been very dedicated for a very long time if they're a Leafs fan.
Yeah, it has. It's been a rough go at it, but it's looking good. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Of course, their best player's got to be an American. He couldn't come play down here, unfortunately. But I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for Leafs fans.
Yeah.
So, who's your favorite enforcer?
Oh, my favorite current enforcer.
Oh, current. Yeah, let's do that.
All time.
Let's do current and all time.
Okay. I'm not convinced there are any out-and-out enforcers at all.
No, it's kind of kind of the hybrid guys. I mean, some of them, but, you know, as close as you can get, I guess.
Yeah, definitely the sort of hybrid, you know, I can never pronounce his name right because everyone pronounces it one of two ways, but Lucic or Lukic, bit of a fan of his sort of work, you know, when he can get the hits in as well.
Lucic.
Gazdik, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, in Ice Guardians as well.
Yep.
You know, I'm pleased to see him get picked up by the Flames, so hopefully he'll, you know, get out there and
yeah, I think that's a good fit for him, too. They could use him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you've seen with the Oilers, you know, the benefit of having players that will actually stick up for these young kids.
Absolutely. And when Calgary, your best player is 5'2", having Gazdik there is not going to hurt, that's for sure.
No. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it's changed. I mean, you don't have those out-and-out sort of fighters in the same way. But, you know, I don't like, you know, players that will go around throwing hits and not answer to it. Just be, you know, not a big fan of the agitators.
Oh, yeah. We call them bitches.
yeah, totally.
But yeah, the biggest problem with it now is, even when these guys try to do their job and, you know, two grown men drop the gloves, when the refs stop it, that makes me want to jump through my television.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That makes me mad.
I just
let them go.
Yeah, what the fuck?
It just, you know, you'll let this massive hit go with someone's head to being the primary point of contact.
Right.
But yeah, you'll call them for just, like, you know, it's crazy. That's what bothers me. Massively about watching it in the UK and in the NHL as well.
It makes me wonder, like, if their earpiece is too loud and they can't hear everybody, like, cheering and screaming, like, that it blows my mind. And it is two consenting adults.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just let them go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, you know, I'm pro letting people go for that. I'm quite anti stage fights, but those fights that actually come out of the play, they need to happen.
Right,
you
they
know,
do.
Needs to be resolved. Just let them go.
They do. I agree. So all time, who is it?
I think I'm a big fan of Todd Fedoruk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he. I think it was just the time I was sort of really, you know, begun to get interested in thinking about it as a topic and thinking about, you know, maybe doing this research and getting involved. Yeah, sort of Todd Fedoruk and Bugard and Paros, all that kind of era.
Gotta love Paros. Like,
yeah, there was a, you know, a good amount of fighting in the league then. You know, everybody loves that you know, Paros clip.
Yeah. Yeah. Paris's mustache, too,
I'm
man.
Thinking of George Larac as well. obviously. Ty Domi was awesome to watch fighting as well.
Yes, he sure was. Well, that's, I love that answer. I get a lot of Proberts and a lot of Scott Parkers, but Fedoric, I love that answer. That's great.
It's a little different. You know, obviously, like, you know, I mean, Probert was the, you know, the kind of number one, wasn't he? He was that guy. I always like to go for someone who's less number one, has got a bit more.
When I get the Probert answer, I usually ask again because that kind of goes without saying that that Probert was the best. So, but yeah, I love that answer. That's awesome. I do like to ask, since we are called the Biscuit. What's a good English breakfast?
Oh, good English! I thought you were going to ask for a good English biscuit, which is very different to an American biscuit.
A biscuit's a cookie over there, yeah.
It is, yeah. Well,
yeah, what's the cookie then? What's the best biscuit over there? The best biscuit over here is this podcast. You're on it.
Of course. okay, so the best biscuit over here would be, I'm trying to think of the best one. I'm going to say a penguin.
Nope.
That can't. So a penguin biscuit. I don't think, do you have penguins over there?
Like the cookie?
Yeah.
No, I've never fucking heard of it.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like two layers of like chocolate biscuit with sandwich filling. And then it's covered in milk chocolate.
Whoa, it sounds good as hell.
Pretty amazing.
We got to have something like that. I'm not sure of the name. I'd have to ask my wife. She's the cookie queen.
Well, I'm gluten-free, so I can't eat any of them.
Oh, you don't get any good cookies. And then what's a classic English breakfast?
Okay, so, I live in Wales, so like your Welsh breakfast is different from your English breakfast and your Irish breakfast.
Okay.
But they're all kind of based on the same kind of idea, which is like bacon, sausage, egg, and then whatever else you want to add to it. That's a bit weird. I'm a simple breakfast person, so I wouldn't add everything, but some people love to have like black pudding and
That's what the beard said, black pudding.
It's like a sausage and things like that in there, and baked beans and tomatoes and mushrooms, but I'm a purist. I just like eggs and bacon on their own.
Hey, there you go, can't beat that. That's the shit. And now I know we had discussed earlier that you guys don't really get Labatt Blue. That breaks my heart.
We don't. It's tragic. There's a lot of really good things from both the States and Canada that we don't get here.
Oh,
although they are opening Tim Hortons now.
Hey, no shit.
Yeah, they opened the first one in Scotland last month, and they're bringing one to Cardiff and one to Belfast. So I think they need one at each hockey rink. That should go without saying.
Oh, for sure. That's one of my favorite parts of the Blue Jackets arena. There's a Tim Hortons connected to it. You can't beat it.
That's the way to do it, isn't it?
I'm telling you.
And, yeah, no, they don't do Labatt's. You know, they don't do Molson. They don't do all the kind of things like that here. They've got lots of real ales are kind of really popular at the moment. So there's just loads and loads of those independent brewers and stuff. So that's quite cool.
Yeah, the hipsters here, they all love their craft beer.
Yeah.
I was into it for a while there, but then like my love for drinking a shit ton of beer took over, so I was like, well, I'll just buy a cheaper case of beer. So Labatt it was. And then but I mean, it's hard to find here. I unfortunately, and I'm not proud of this, but I had to have the local grocery store here special order it for me.
I was like,
that's
dedication to
that. Yeah, so that's where I'm at. I'm having them order two cases of beer for me a week so I can stay legit.
I feel like, you know, they should pick up on this when they podcast and start sending you some free Labatt's.
Oh, do you hear that, Labatt? Send me some free Labatt.
tag them in a couple of Twitter posts. I'm telling you.
I need a little Labatt counter too for every time I crack one on here. I'm gonna go back. Yeah. I'm gonna go back and listen to all the old podcasts and see what number I'm up to. It's got to be. I mean, it's usually about three or four an episode. So
yeah. See how much they owe you, like in back payment.
For, yeah, there you go. Now that's using it. See, there you go, Doc. That's good. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, Victoria. I really do appreciate it. It's amazing stuff, and we're going to be looking forward to the book coming out. You want to tell the Biscuit Babies where they can find you?
So I'm on Twitter, at SilverwoodBS, and yeah, Twitter's kind of my only kind of general area, but keep an eye out for the book as it comes out. You know, give all the Ice Guardians people to follow.
Yes.
Scott Parker, Parker's Platoon, Adam Scorgi, Brett Harvey, all the guys, you know, just keep sending them some love. Tell them that you like the film if you did, and get in a discussion if you don't. Just, you know, go easy with calling me Cupcake.
Yeah, come on, guys. What the fuck? And you're welcome back anytime you want, and definitely hit me up when that book is getting close to coming out, and we will post the shit out of that. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to keep writing it, and then they keep putting marking on me, and I'm like, no more marking. I need to write my book.
So, and
it'll be good. I'll keep you informed.
Good. And go Giants, right?
Devils.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Go follow her on Twitter, and go follow her on Twitter. She's the shit. Thank you very much, Doctor. Go watch Ice Guardians again. It is the best film ever made. Find us, The Biscuit Podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music. I gotta check the email, but I'm pretty sure Spotify is still not letting us on because... Dude, I haven't said faggot in weeks, though, so we got to be getting closer to getting in there. Follow us on Twitter, The Biscuit Pod. We're on Facebook, Biscuit, The Biscuit, The Biscuit. We're on Instagram now, The Biscuit, or The_Biscuit_Podcast. We got some cool pictures up there. Go for a float. Lucid Float Spas, Mount Vernon, Ohio. Shitty Coolers. Go check them out, too. We're an ambassador for them as well. I love you guys. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. Go rate and review us on everything, please. 5 stars or fuck off. Freedom. Hockey. The Biscuit.